Amen. I'm glad Jesus still saves. Amen. We're having a missions conference because he doesn't just do it here in America. He does it all around the world. Amen. But he still does it around the corner if we'll share the gospel with somebody. Amen. Well, I hope you came prepared for preaching tonight, but we're also going to do a little presenting. And so each night, be out each night. It's going to be good. If you've never been in a missions conference, then don't miss a night of it. You don't want to miss 1 ounce of it. Brother Scott Netterville, it has been a blessing already being in here. He sang this morning. If you were serving somewhere and didn't get to hear it, I asked him if he'd sing again in the conference so that you don't miss it. Amen. But he does have CDs back there if you want to get one. And had a great start to the morning. I did want to mention, I forgot earlier, Brother Jesse texted me over from Bible Baptist. They had 52 in the service this morning and 2 saved. Amen. So what a blessing. Amen. Continue to pray for Bible Baptist and Bartow. For the Netterville, you come and bring it.
Thank you, preacher.
Let me just start out saying thank you so much, church, for your hospitality, for your kindness. We're able to stay over here at the Village, and we are having a very good time. Had driven in from Louisiana, and so that was a little bit of a trip for us, but we are glad to be here. Preacher, thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you to those that went out with us yesterday on the Bible handout. Man, we had a good time. I would encourage you, I know Brother Parsons is wanting to get the Bible handout started here. I'll say a little bit more about it in a second, but I would encourage you to get involved in that. I promise you, it is a great soul-winning tool. And so anyway, I'm Scott Netterville. This is my wife, Debbie. We are out of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbon A, Illinois. Brother Terry Angel is our pastor. We are Ambassador Baptist Ministries. We started about 10 years ago, started the ministry. We've been in the ministry a little over 35 years now. But our heart is this, folks, our nation's in trouble. It doesn't take much to figure that out, amen? When we have folks that are trying to convince us that fellas kissing is all right. I don't know about you. That's kind of nasty to me. Amen. But you know, all the different things that are going on, whether it's culturally or politically, our nation's in trouble. But this is the problem. Listen to me. The problem's a spiritual problem. And we need to understand that as the people of God. The lost crowd's not changed. It's the saved crowd that's changing. And so we need to understand, folks, the only thing that's going to help our nation is not an election. Listen, there is not one, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. I think they're all crooked. Amen. You're welcome. But this is the thing. There's not one president that can enact a policy that will help our country spiritually. And so we need to understand that what we need it is God's help. We need revival in our nation. Amen. We want to be a part of that. We started Ambassador Baptist Ministry almost 10 years ago now, doing this, helping small churches, helping start new churches all over the nation. There's a lot of just small churches, folks, that they need help. We were just in a church 2 weeks ago that with my wife and I, there was only 9 of us there. And it is very easy as a pastor of a small church to get discouraged. And we want to be able to go in and just help them and be an encouragement to them. And then be able to help church planters. Let me do this. Before I say too much, let's go ahead and watch our video, and then I'll come back and say more about that, and then we'll preach. Amen. Oh my, brother, that's not the right one. That's all right. Go ahead and play that one. It'll be okay. Thank you.
Scott. We're here at Central Baptist Church in Center, Texas. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Continued to bless with the Bible handouts. We've already added four new churches since the beginning of January of 2023. Three churches, I believe, in Texas. We appreciate you supporting us, praying for us. Please be a part of the Bible handout program. I promise it will be a huge blessing to you. And during your missions conference, if you would, pray and talk to God. Ask Him what He'd have your part to be in missions and in missions giving. Thanks so much for your help. We love y'all. Praying for you. Thank you very much.
That is one we are working on, amen. So you can see it might need a little help there, but that's all right. Let me just again just kind of go through how we got started, how the Bible handout ministry got started. Again, I had pastored a small church. I'm from the Houston area, from Pasadena, Texas. I'd pastored a small church there, and to be honest, we struggled. We had taken a church that their mentality was our four and no more. It was a struggle to try to get the thing going. To be honest, we never did have a lot of support. We were there for 10 years trying to get the thing to move forward and just never could get it to move forward. A lot of different things that had gone on there, but let me say, now it is a Spanish church. It really, it needed to be. If you know anything about the Houston, Texas area, there are a lot of illegals that are coming into Texas, just like they are here in Florida, and they need to be reached. And church was in the middle of a neighborhood that was probably 65% Spanish, and so we turned it over to a Spanish work, and it is doing a good work now. But God used that in my heart and in my wife's heart to understand that there are so many struggling churches in America. Folks, the average independent Baptist church is 50 folks or less. And those folks are, they look at a church like this, and they say, man, if I had those resources, if I had that manpower, if I had those people and so on. And it is very easy for them to get discouraged because many times it's a young pastor. He's trying to work a job. He's in the economy we're in. He's having to work overtime to try to make the finances that he needs. He's trying to raise a family. He's trying to pastor a church. And all of those things, man, when you put all of that together, the truth is there's not enough time in the day to do all of that and something not suffering. Normally, the easiest thing for a pastor to be able to do is put his family off, to say to his wife, hey, you need to take care of the things at the house so that I can study, so I can knock doors, so I can make visits, so I can work overtime and so on. And so what ends up happening in many cases, folks, that pastor gets discouraged because what will happen, the wife gets discouraged. Dad's not down at the house taking care of the things that he needs to take care of. Mom gets discouraged because dad's not there. The kids get discouraged because mom's discouraged. Then once they get discouraged, you have a pastor that's going to get discouraged. Once he gets discouraged, you're looking at a church that's fixing to close its doors. Right now, we're closing about 4,000 churches a year in America. We're only starting about 1,500. Out of that 1,500, only 50% of those are making it more than 5 years. Folks, you can see we're on the losing side of that thing right now. Now, we know we're on the winning side, amen? But we are, we might as well be honest about it. We are losing our nation spiritually. And so it's a must that we have some missionaries here in the States that will try to be a help and encouragement to those folks. I've been there. I understand. Man, I could have used somebody just to come in to pray with us, to help us knock doors, to spend some time with us just encouraging us. Secondly is this. A church planner goes to start a church. Many times what he has is financial support. He'll have some prayer support. But what he doesn't have is physical labor, and that's where my wife and I come in. We sold our home down the Houston area 10 years ago. We bought a fifth wheel. That's what we live in. We live in that full time. That saves expenses as we go to small churches and go to help a church plant so that there is not an expense to them, so that we can come in, help them knock doors, paint a wall, clean a toilet, whatever it takes to help them get started, all right? And so, but during, as we started Ambassador Baptist Ministries, of course, COVID came along, and we were hindered from knocking doors like many other ministries. And so I just had the thought of making a PVC frame, putting it up in the back of my truck, make a couple of banners that say free Bibles, go down to Walmart. And the first time we did it was in July of 2020, and we were out for about an hour and a half. We had three folks saved. God's continued to bless that and continued to see it grow. We have over 70 churches that my wife and I have helped get started doing the Bible handouts. We have three other evangelists that have just taken the ministry on, not really working with us, but just friends that had seen the ministry. And what it has helped have revival in some churches because of, I had a pastor call me today from Fort Worth. In fact, Brother Morgan, his brother Brian Fisher, had a young couple. They had come to the Bible handout. They had come to church today, did not get saved at the Bible handout, but they came to church today. Both of them got saved and baptized this morning. They said, "We like this place. This what we want." Hey, this morning, Brother John had five kids on his bus from the Bible handout yesterday. I believe we had gave out 43 Bibles, 30 Spanish New Testaments, had two saved, and then five here this morning. Brother Morgan said he thought he might have seen one or two others that were here from the Bible handout. So, folks, it is an amazing thing. Let me say it this way. It does not replace knocking doors. Amen. Say amen right there. But it is another hook in the water to get folks saved. And listen, we're in the soul winning ministry. I'm not in the Bible giveaway ministry. I'm in the soul winning ministry. Amen. And so you pray for us. Please, on the table back there is our prayer cards. Please pick one of those up and pray for us. We cannot do the work we do without churches like this that are praying for us as we head down the road to be able to help have revival here in America, all right? Take your Bible, if you would. Mark chapter 16, if you would. Mark chapter 16. I want to just take tonight and going to use a few of the scriptures where we have the Great Commission, and I want to just look and take a few thoughts from that. And I want to preach on this for just a little bit, a missions view of the command. A missions view of the command, all right? Mark chapter 16, if you would. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. If you have it, say amen, wave at me, do something. Let me know you got it. You got it? If you have a Bible, it'll say this. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, unto that backslidden crowd, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. By the way, not some kind of Astola Shanaha, Kawasaki, Azuki, Yamaha, she came on a Honda. Amen. Speaking in tongues never was some kind of gibberish that could not be understood. Amen. They'll speak in new tongues. Thou shalt take up serpents. Now, I'm not part of that crowd either. Amen. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Praise God for Dr. Pepper. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, again, a missions view of the command. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll look at the message. Fathers, we come and bow before you. We do need you tonight. Lord, we sure do love you. So thankful. God, so thankful that we're saved. I'm so thankful to be in the ministry, thankful to be in the house of God. Thank you for this great church and for Brother Carter and his testimony, for Brother Parsons and, Lord, how you've used him to continue on the work here. We pray for the missions conference. God, please, we need you to move in and do a work in hearts this week. I need it to help encourage me. God, your people need it. Lord, just to continue to grow in faith. And so we ask you, God, please, as I preach tonight, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit of God? Fill your people with the Spirit of God that they might have hearing ears and an understanding heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to take just a few verses that are commonly used for missions and give us a reminder, if you will, just refresh our memories about a few points that, and listen, I'm not going to give you anything new. Brother Carter has preached many times on missions, I'm sure. Other men of God you've had here, Brother Parsons. So not going to give you anything new tonight, but do want to just kind of give you some reminders. Man, without a doubt, missions is the heart of God. Preacher said that this morning. Amen. Jesus made that clear back there in Luke 19:10 when he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, he left the glories of heaven to come to an ungodly, vile, defiled people that he might have mercy on us. Hey, have you figured out yet? Our God's in love with mercy. And aren't you thankful for that? Amen. But understand that the main focus of missions is this, if you will. It is souls. It's souls, and the souls that are created by the breath of God and that our Savior died for. So let's just look at a few things about a view for missions. First, I'd say this, it must be with the worldview. Our view must be with the worldview. Man, we just read it there in verse 15. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He said that we're to go to every creature, to every nation, to every soul that's alive. Hey, we're to go to it. God could care less about color. He could care less about nationality. He could care less about where they come from or anything else like that. He's just in love with them. They're his creation. Amen. And just the same love that he has for souls, we ought to have for souls. Understand, it's a worldview that has both a domestic and a foreign side to it. Back in Acts 1:8, we find he said that we're to, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, hey, the truth is, needs to start at home. Needs to start at home. We went back to Luke 24:47. It says this, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, beginning at Jerusalem." That was their hometown. Hey, for you, that means it begins here in Haines City. That means it begins in the other towns around here. It spreads into the county, and on it go into the state and into the nation and across the seas. The truth is, though, it's got to start at home. Listen to me. If it's not domestic, it'll never be foreign. If you won't win souls here, you won't win them over there. We need to understand that the truth is that folks, we need to work the domestic side and invest in the foreign side. Let me say it again. Work in the domestic side. Hey, can I say this? There's not anybody here that should not be involved in missions. Now, I loved bus meeting yesterday, preacher, as you got up, and he was encouraging folks to get the bus kids involved in giving. I mean, he said, man, teach them, pray just to maybe find a dime in the couch cushions. Amen. Hey, I like that. God can put dimes in couch cushions. Amen. Why not? Hey, God's for the young people being involved in missions. And the truth is, we ought to teach, I don't care what age it is, we ought to teach them that, hey, missions involves you as well as it does adults. I say this, we need, really, some folks to yield their lives to missions. Well, I believe this with all my heart, preacher. God's still calling folks. He's still calling. By the way, can I say this? I don't care about your age either. Amen. Now, I worked for other men for almost 20 years, pastored for 10 years. And 10 years ago, told the Lord, if you want me to sell my home, get on the road, we'll do it. Can I be honest with you? I'm not but 65, so that means I'm a young man. Y'all say amen right there. And thank you, Brother Carter. But can I say it's not easy living on the road at 65? I don't have a home anywhere. I have a fifth wheel. I get to stay in y'all's homes over here in the village this week. Can I say that thing feels like a mansion to us? Amen. Yeah. Can I be honest with you? 40 feet can get real small at times. Amen. How many of y'all are married? Yeah, y'all understand what I mean. Amen. 40 feet can get awful small. Hey, but listen, I wouldn't do anything else. To be involved, to be able to travel up and down the roads of this nation, be involved in helping churches have revival, being able to be an encouragement to them, to be able to go and to preach and to encourage young men and women, middle-aged men and women, old men and women. Man, if God wants to call you, let him call you. Yield to him. Hey, you'll never go wrong surrendering to the will of God. You never go wrong. And so start out, that worldview must be domestic and it must be foreign. Can I say second? Well, before I leave that, the thought I wrote down there that I think is a good thought. Listen, what we do, we ask foreign missionaries to go the field to win other folks' kids or mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. Who's winning their folks back home? See, that's our job. If we're going to ask them to go, then we need to be busy trying to win their families. Amen. And so understand, we have a huge part in mission. Secondly, not only a worldview, but it needs to be a personal view. a personal view. Several of the verses say this in Mark 16 again. He said unto them, go ye. Back in Matthew 28, it says, go ye. Can I say the truth is that, folks, our vision of the command must involve me personally. And can I say this? There's nobody above soul winning. Nobody above soul winning. One of the reasons that I believe God has blessed the Bible handout ministry is this. Listen, anybody can sit in a chair and hold a bottle of water and wait for somebody to pull up, and then you get to talk to them. Amen. And that's what we do at the Bible handout ministry. We just go out there, get our chairs out, get us a bottle of water, sit down there in Walmart parking lot, fellowship for a little while, and I promise you, you talk to any of that was at the Bible handout yesterday, you don't get to stay still very long. In fact, we didn't even get both our banners up yesterday when the first person pulled up and began to talk to folks. And so can I say the truth is, listen, don't ever get to where you're not involved in some kind of soul winning ministry. And I get it. As we get older, things are more difficult. But as long as you can, man, stay in a soul winning ministry. And if you can't go, then you can pray. Amen? Be involved in that. But understand, and that it must involve me. I must go. See, I must give. I must pray. No matter what age. Don't, and I'd say this, man, don't discount a decision that you may have made at a young age towards missions. You know, too many times we have some young people that maybe junior age kids make decisions toward feeling like God has called them into the ministry. Don't discourage them from that. In fact, I would say this, encourage them in that. Hey, don't give them a reason to back out of that. Encourage that decision. Keep them moving towards that. So help them to understand God can use you no matter what age you are. Not only a personal view, but can I say this? It must be a view with individuals in mind. Because he said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, really, we get to thinking on that command sometimes, and it gets way too big. I mean, we think every creature, that's what he said. By the way, it's a literal command. He meant every creature. Say amen right there. And that might as well be honest, we're not doing real good at that. Well, sometimes we kind of pick and choose who it is we talk to. That tattoo crowd, we're not so aggressive with. The biker crowd, maybe we're not so aggressive with. Amen. Huh? What about that? Sometimes we get intimidated by the banker crowd or the lawyer crowd. Hey, they need Christ too. Folks, listen, the truth is that it's everybody. If we don't keep the focus on this, on individuals, then we think, well, every creature, man, that's such a big task, Brother Scott. How are we going to do that? Just stay focused on individuals. Hey, have y'all figured this out? See, we're in the people business. We're not in the church business. Church business is God's business. Our business is the people business. Our business is just telling them. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. You cannot be a failure in soul winning if you'll tell them. Because he said this, sometimes you plant, sometimes you water, sometimes you get to see an increase. And see, that's all our job is just plant or water. Sometimes God lets us see an increase. So don't think you've been a failure just because maybe you witnessed to somebody and they didn't get saved right then. That's not your business. Now, we want them saved, amen. And I think you ought to be aggressive. But at the same time, I'm not in the arm-twisting business. That's not my job. Listen, it's far too many times. I believe fundamentalists got a little messed up for a while. We got that 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff. And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to do the work in hearts, we just said, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. Hey, prayer doesn't save anybody. Amen. The truth is that it's the Holy Spirit of God's job to do the convicting. Ours is just the telling. But we need to be involved and be aggressive about talking to folks. Be aggressive about getting the gospel to them. Listen, you and I both know the devil's going to do his best to fight in our mind to keep us from being aggressive about talking to people. We become intimidated. We become, man, I teach on soul winning, and the first thing I always teach, preacher, is this: fear's a factor. Fear's a factor. I don't care who you are, how long you've been going, fear's a factor. And you've got to learn to overcome that and not let Satan play those games in your mind. And go ahead and just be aggressive. Talk to people. You know what? We've kind of become comfortable with this. Just doing this. Hey, let me give you an invitation to church there. My name's Scott. What's your name? Barry. Hey, it's good to meet you. Why don't you come to our church sometime? We've gotten kind of comfortable with that. We need to get out of that comfort zone and ask, hey, what about eternity, sir? If you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Be aggressive with them. Amen. Let me move on quickly. Can I say we must keep an excited view? You know, it becomes real easy for the things of the ministry to become a duty. We just kind of, you know, well, I'm in college, and if I don't fill out that, you know, report and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, man, I'll get in trouble with Brother Morgan. Yeah, amen. And you ought to. Amen. You're welcome. I'm a member here, and, you know, I just don't have, you know, I don't have the gift. Yeah, but you got the command. Say amen right there. It's easy for it not to stay fresh. And we've got to keep it where the ministry is fresh. And where we're excited about what we're doing. Hey, go back there again, where we started there in Mark. Let me just go back and read some of those verses again and see if it doesn't sound kind of exciting to you. He said, unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that, and by the way, I like world travel, don't you? It's fun. Amen. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, that we're not Church of Christ, amen, because it goes on, but he that believeth not should be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And I get it. It's still, they're still the sign gifts are still going on then and the apostolic age. And I get it. Those things have ceased. But listen, still listen to what he says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Hey, anytime you get somebody saved, can I say you're involved in the devil casting out business? Amen. You don't believe it, just get out there talking to some of them. Amen. I remember when I was lost, I grew up in church but rebelled, didn't get saved till I was 23. I was one of those long-haired 60, 70 motorcycle riding, drug dealing hippies. Amen. I was pretty. That's what I thought anyway. Amen. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, can I say this? The morning I got saved, September the 14th, 1981, working in a steel mill there in Houston. Fellas I dealt drugs to on Friday, I told them about Christ on Monday morning. I remember Ray, fellow I worked with, telling me, he said, man, he said, you must have a bad trip this weekend. He said, don't worry, you'll be all right. You'll be back. I ain't gone back yet, amen. Don't want to go back. Hey, it's exciting what I'm doing, amen. Getting the cast out devil. Hey, I don't know about you. I'm not a part of the snake handling crowd, but God said if you get a part of that thing, you know, he'll take care of you. Now, I ain't going to try him, amen? I've read somewhere not to tempt the Lord, amen? So I don't think I'm going to go there. As far as drinking deadly things, I'm not sure what he's talking about there, but, I drink Dr. Pepper. How many of y'all know what Big Red is? Anybody from down Texas where they got Big Red? Oh, you can't go wrong drinking Big Red. Who's got that moxie back there? Who is it? Brother, you just pour that stuff down the drain. That's one of them Northeast drinks, amen? I don't know. That stuff's nasty, brother. Amen. I wouldn't have put that on my table, brother. Hey, keep it fresh. Hey, keep it this way. Keep it a compassionate view. Some have compassion making a difference. Others, hey, in the garment, spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. Can I say they're blinded by Satan? They need somebody that'll care. Somebody that'll have some compassion on them. That'll understand where they are. And say, look, I just know this. God's in love with you. And can I tell you about my Savior? What he'll do for you. Let me close with this. It must be an urgent view. Brother Carter was talking about during Sunday school. Brother, we're close. A trumpet's just about to sound. John 9:4 said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, the night cometh, when no man can work. Back in Jeremiah, he said this, the harvest is past, the summer's ended. And there's that crowd that said, we are not saved. It's urgent. It's urgent, folks, that we get busy doing what God's called us to do. There's people here, as great as this church is, the great testimony you've had for many years. I've been around a couple of days now. There's a lot of lost folks still around here. They need you. Let me help you to understand this as I close. See, if we went down to Walmart and I got on the loudspeaker and I said, hey, how many of y'all care whether folks get saved or not? See, the manager would run over there, grab me, tackle me, take me to the ground. What is that guy doing? See, they don't care down at Walmart whether people get saved or not. See, the bank crowd doesn't care about people getting saved. Go down to the hardware store, the car dealership. See those feet? No, they care less. You want to know who cares? I'm looking at them. This the crowd that cares. This the crowd that cares. If we don't do it, who is? See, if you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? There's folks that you're in contact with, Brother Parsons, will never be in contact with. They wouldn't listen to him anyway. They'll listen to you. God has put them in your life on purpose. You need to get the gospel to them. And during this missions conference, you ought to do a couple of things. Number one, recommit yourself to souls. Recommit yourself, God. I'm going to be involved in winning souls. Secondly, do this. God, would you increase my faith? Would you increase my faith? See, we get real tight with God sometimes when it comes to one of these. Say amen right there. Now, y'all got real tight all of a sudden. Amen. I know how it is. We We think, man, but Brother Scott, you don't understand the economy. God's not concerned with the economy. Inflation hadn't hit heaven. Amen. So we need to just recommit one more time. So God, what would you have me to do? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, first let me ask you, are you saved? I'm not asking if you're a church member, not asking if you are religious, not asking if you've been baptized. I'm asking, do you know there's a time in your life you came under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, and you realized you was headed for hell and you deserved to go there. But you called on Christ and asked him to save you. Is there any ever been a time in your life like that? If that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up? Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it. If I die today, heaven's my home. Thank you. Is there anybody this evening and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure about that, but I know this, I'd like to be saved. Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Anybody like that? I see that hand back over here to the right. Sir, can I say the truth is God's in love with you. He wants you to be saved. If you would, why don't you step out and come down here and talk to the pastor? Come on. Preacher, here comes that young man. We're going to take the Bible, show you how you can be saved. Anybody else this evening? Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Don't you miss heaven? It'd be an awful thing for you to miss heaven. Oh, what in God you do? You'd give yourself to Christ. Please don't go to hell. How many of you would say tonight, Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart, preacher? That's you, would you slip your hand up? God spoke to my heart tonight, preacher. Hands all over the house. Let me ask you to do this. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. God spoke to your heart. You come down here and talk to him this evening. Don't you dare let him talk to you and you not talk back to him. I'm going to pray. Song's going to be sung. Invitation's open. Others already been down here praying. Father, please take the invitation. God, you use it how you want to. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we sing, if you need to come, you come on. Maybe you need to renew some vows. Maybe you need to make some new vows. Maybe you've not been given to missions. Why don't you come and talk to God about that tonight? Maybe God hasn't spoken to your heart yet about what you ought to be given. Why don't you come tonight and ask him, Lord, what is it you'd have me to give to missions this next year? God, would you help me to know? God, would you increase my faith that I could invest more in the work.